Before the dawn broke, before the visitors were shocked and surprised, before the tomb was empty, everything was broken. Life was in pieces. The relationships had been strained. People had been abandoned. Others had been left shattered in grief. Political decisions were made that left everyone uncertain as to their collective future. Religious institutions proved themselves out of touch and so lost in their own dogma that they were hurting more than they were helping. Dreams had been shattered and hope had been dashed. Jesus was dead. This was the world before the sun came up, a broken world filled with broken hearts. And then, without warning, everything changed. Hear the gospel story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome with them brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But the man said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, for there you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb of terror, with terror and amazement, which had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You know, hearing this story, it is hard for us to fully appreciate the unexpectedness of this story. I mean, chances are you knew how this was going to end. I was practicing the sermon this morning in front of the choir and was like, "Listen, sorry to spoil it, but he's alive at the end of this." And now, you know, here we are. Some of you have been to Easter before and you know what's going to happen. It is hard to fully appreciate the unexpectedness of this story. So that we cannot fully appreciate the unexpectedness, perhaps we can appreciate the brokenness that precedes it. Now, brokenness is not something we often associate with Easter. Instead, we are inundated with images of eggs and bunnies and flowers and sunshine, all the happy, wonderful Easter things. And that is well and good, and those certainly have their time, and we will get there. That is the promise of Easter. But before all of the new life, Easter invites us to look honestly at the imperfect, weary, worn, and broken places in life. I mean, I wouldn't want us to just think that Easter is exclusively a joyous event for the chipper and perpetually optimistic. Those people don't need Easter the same way. Easter starts in a dark moment. That's where the women in the Easter story were heading. They were heading to visit a broken place in their lives. It is too easy to just think, "Oh yeah, they were on their way to the tomb. That's where the story starts." Folks, we have to acknowledge what a difficult trip that was for them. He died 3 days ago, and they're going there. At a time when denial would be so much easier, when avoidance would be so much more comfortable, they are going there. They went. They held hands with one another, and they went there. We too are invited to journey in such a way, to acknowledge that our lives, our communities, and our world have places of pain and failure. And we are invited to not shy away from those places, to not ignore them, not to hide them. We are invited to go there because that is where Easter happens. Easter morning, the Easter morning before the sun came up, is for me one of the most relatable and humanly authentic moments in the entire Easter story. It's the part we can understand because we know doubt. We understand worry. We have experienced disappointment and we live in grief at times. And before we get further into this Easter story, before we find the tomb empty, before new life abounds, we are invited this day to pause, to take a breath, and to realize that there is nothing wrong with us for feeling the way we do in the dark times. We've been hurt. We've been left grieving. We have felt the earth shift at the whim of those in power and not known which end is up. And amidst all of that, we are not alone. And so this morning we journey to the tomb, hand in hand like those women. We bring with us our places of brokenness together as a community, because that's where Easter happens. And as we arrive at this Easter moment, we will find more than the tomb to be opened. I've spent a great deal of time in these recent weeks with the work of Parker Palmer, a wonderful, wonderful man who reflects on life. He's a wonderful, insightful author who has written the book Healing the Heart of Democracy, Developing a Politic Worthy of the Human Soul. And I invite you to join us over the next 6 weeks as we learn about what he calls the habits of the heart that truly can transform our lives and thus transform the world around us. Now, one of his insights as he talks about healing the heart is you have to acknowledge that things at times are broken. And one of his insights is that there are two kinds of heartbreak. Sometimes our hearts break open. Other times our hearts break apart. And there's a difference between these two hearts. You see, breaking apart is a dramatic, often unrecoverable experience. In fact, not only does breaking apart destroy our own heart, but often the shrapnel from its breaking apart hurts those close to us as well. Whereas breaking open is a dynamic process in which we respond to that which has hurt us in ways that allow us to grow and change and find new life. So what's the difference between these two? How are these hearts different that one might break open and one might break apart? Parker Palmer puts it this way. Everything depends on the qualities of the heart on which these demands are laid, how that heart has been formed or deformed. Is it a life-experienced heart? A reflective heart? A heart made supple by inner exercise and responsive engagement with real life? Or is it a heart that's grown brittle from being wounded, unattended, left unhealed, sheltered and withdrawn, a heart more prone to shattering in the face of life's demands? What a description of these hearts. Now, certainly, almost anyone would choose the experienced heart, the one that's reflective and supple because of inner exercise. I mean, I think we would choose that over the brittle, unhealed heart anytime we were given the choice. But like so many things, we would quickly offer a preference without considering the work required to make it possible. There is a difference between choosing something and actually doing the work to develop it. Not as many people are willing to put in the work to develop things. This is why we must go to the tomb like the women. We must go to experience change and growth. That's one of the things we're about here in this place. Every day at Highlands United Methodist Church, we are working to do that inner exercise and be responsive in our engagement with the world, not shying away from things. It's why we extend the invitation when we walk in this door for every person to be honest about who we are and how we are and where we are in life. We strive every day to build a home where all belong and live out that instruction God asked us to write upon our hearts. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Such important words that when Jesus was asked the most important law, the most essential rule, what was it? Jesus quoted this defining statement that God had asked the Hebrew people to write upon their hearts. Love God. Love your neighbor. You know, there's an old Hasidic story that speaks to the challenge of this divine invitation that we would write these words upon our hearts. A disciple asks a rabbi, why does the Torah tell us to place these words upon our hearts? Why doesn't it tell us to put the holy words in our hearts? And the rabbi answers, it's because as we are, our hearts are closed. We cannot place the holy words in them. So instead, we place the holy words on top of our hearts, and they stay there until one day The heart breaks open and the words fall in. You see, it's through the experiences of life that we share together that the words begin to fall in. That's my prayer for us. And that's why we don't shy away from difficult topics and the hard questions of life. So that way, when bigger things come, our hearts are ready to be opened instead of shattering apart because we have begun to confront what life brings. This is the message of Christ's life and the hope of Easter. That when we go to the hard places, new life can be found. If we are willing to go to the tomb like the women, if we are willing to confront the brokenness of our world, if we're willing to name the pain in our own lives, that is where we will be changed. I mean, Jesus spent his entire life pushing people to confront life's most difficult moments. There was always this awkward pause. There had to be when Jesus walked in the room and everyone was like, oh, he's here. Things are about to get awkward. Because he was that guy, the guy that brought up things no one wanted to talk about. I mean, Jesus brought attention to hungry people and those who didn't have homes. He brought the marginalized front and center in the presence of those who wanted to push them aside. Here's Jesus advocating for immigrants and refugees. Here's a guy confronting illness, sitting with people as loved ones die, weeping with them. These are not the easy moments everyone wants to show up for, but these are the conversations and the reality Jesus invites us to. I mean, here's a guy who's calling out materialism and challenging those who are comfortable at others' expense. You can see why the room got quiet when he walked in. Because he kept bringing up life-changing things. He kept naming world-changing things. What he was doing was working the hearts of those around him. He was exercising them in ways that would help them become strong and healthy and ready to endure. Because these are the real issues we encounter on the journey of life. And if we don't responsively engage them, if we don't acknowledge their existence, when things come, and things will come, we will find our hearts broken apart because we cannot simply avoid reality forever. Avoiding the difficult moments in life will not keep us from the pain of brokenness. But I tell you, the hope of Easter is that we need not fear them. We need not fear that brokenness will overcome us. Instead, the Easter story demonstrates for us that when we confront the difficult places in life, we can break through them into openness, into life. Easter is a promise from God that even in the darkest moments, life can break through and that God will open something new. Easter is a promise from God that there is no pain, no brokenness too great for God's love and God's grace. For God loves us as we are and will take our hand and walk with us into new life from that place of despair. Whatever difficulties or barriers the world builds, and the world does build some difficulties and barriers, those can be broken down and broken open. That's what we find at the tomb on Easter morning. We find the culmination of God's work to open our hearts. For when that tomb was opened, so was the possibility of hope and life for us all. No more need fear and cynicism harden our hearts until they're in pieces. No more need exclusionary lines keep us from being accepted as we are. No more fear, no more exclusion, no more judgment, for Christ has broken them down.
Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall. Let us join our hearts as one. Christ has broken down the wall. We accepted as we are.
This is the Easter promise. Amen.